This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 99 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And man, that trip down to Columbia was something else, I tell you. It felt so good to be back, seeing all the old stomping grounds, the old campus, and of course, going down to Willie B. It was an incredible trip. I ended up meeting some legends. I met Steven Garcia. I met up with Parker White. We connected, talked after our interview, and met up with saw George Rogers. I held the freaking Heisman Trophy. It was like trying not to fanboy too much, but it was an all-time weekend. And if you can't tell, my voice is still a little shoddy because that game was just unbelievable. So if my voice cracks once or twice during this episode, I apologize. I'm not going through a weird time in my life. It's just literally, I just screamed literally my lungs out and dealing with the consequences now. But it's well worth it. Very, very exciting trip to Columbia. I cannot wait to get back down there. It was so good to be home. Now, before I jump into the recap from said game, which I went down to visit for and lost my voice at, we do have a weekend review here from around USC Athletics. Got a couple scores for y'all here. Starting with Sunday, everything was Sunday. Men's soccer tied JMU 1-1. So good job, guys. Women's soccer, they beat the crap out of Tennessee 6-1. And we are freaking good. I've talked about this before, but our women's soccer team is awesome. I feel like every time I'm giving an update about them, they're winning. So cool to see. And then also, speaking of soccer and Stone Stadium, really cool to see all the South Campus construction going on. Looks like a whole different world from when I lived there. So very exciting if you are down that way. And then last score update here for y'all, women's volleyball lost to LSU, unfortunately, 0-3. So that's all right, girls. You'll get them next time. Which brings me to the big, big score update and the big recap from the weekend, which comes from Saturday night as the Gamecocks secured a massive, massive victory. Arguably the signature home win for Shane Beamer, beating Texas A&M 30-24 to move to 5-2 on the year. Can't believe I just uttered those words, that we have beaten Texas A&M. I mean, my goodness. Every year that felt like a game where it was just a huge challenge, and for whatever reason, they were just better than us. And let me tell you something, we were better than them Saturday night, and you could tell. But I just don't really know where to begin with this one. I mean, first off, Williams-Brice was rocking. Like, my goodness, harder than it had in a long time. Now, for those of y'all who are maybe new listeners and maybe haven't heard that, the very first introduction episode, when I was at school in Carolina, I was very spoiled, and I was there during the golden Spurrier years. And this game this was up there for how electric it was and how the crowd was. I mean, I was there. I was not there for the Alabama game. But the game that always stands out in my tenure was the 2012 Georgia game. And that was insane. Like, but this game really still stands out. I mean, I went to some incredible games, incredible atmospheres where we like lost once at home or something, whatever it was. And this was just insane. Those lights are everything and more that they advertised. It was like the freaking Super Bowl. I mean, I could barely contain myself. I was like a little kid jumping up and down. It was unbelievable. But, you know, just as we've seen this hot streak that the Gamecocks are on, the team continued to bring a physicality and an edge about themselves for four quarters, you know? And it certainly wasn't pretty the whole time. Wasn't. And, you know, we can say that. But when they needed to make a play on either side of the ball, they stood up and delivered. I've mentioned it before that I believe that the identity of this team this year is one that's gritty, it's pesky, they fight, and it's a team that's going to bother you for four quarters. And notice I didn't say flashy, sexy, or fast. This team plays complementary football and then has some excellent special teams, and they make it work. And guess what? Gamecocks find themselves on the longest win streak since 2013, and as I just aforementioned, got a win for the first time against A&M and now have launched themselves into the top 25. We're ranked. First time since 2018. So I'd say whatever this identity is and whatever this team is doing, it's working. Period. We're winning football games. We're ranked. I mean, remember when we were 1-2 and it felt like the sky was falling? Now look at us. Football, it's a funny thing, man. It's, you know, shorter season, you know, only a couple of games compared to other sports, but it's a long season and a lot can change. This team is clicking right now, not in a way that we've seen a Carolina football team clicking in a long time. But, you know, there's still improvements to be made. Shane Beamer has even continued to say that, both on the execution from the players and on the coaching, which I like to hear. But right now, this team is hot and on the verge of matching the regular season win total from last year with a month left to play. It's just an incredible position that we find ourselves in. And I mean, it's just hats off to everybody in that building. It's very, very incredible. So let's jump into what I liked and did not like from the game. So overall, I loved the energy and attitude of the team. They were leaning into the emotion of the crowd and leaning into the significance of the game. You could see that. They were flying around, jumping up and down, pumping up the crowd, but they were doing so not to the point where they crumbled. Sometimes in college, you see a team get too excited and they play sloppy, whatever it may be. Wasn't the case. They played fast and physical for the whole game and are now making it a habit to jump on teams early and cause some havoc and confusion. I mean, shout out to Xavier Leggett. Biggest of shout outs to Xavier Leggett. That kickoff return left me speechless and voiceless, literally voiceless. I mean, that was exactly the spark the team needed to get the edge on A&M. I mean, speaking of myself being at the Georgia game in 2012, that's got to be, I think it's the loudest the stadium has been since Ace Sanders' punt return in 2012. That's a decade ago. Unbelievable. I mean, and it truly proved to be the difference of the game. The special teams touchdown was the difference in scoring when you look at how the offense fared. It won us the game. Unbelievable. Biggest of shout-outs to a guy that's worked hard, Not everything came easy for him in his time here at Carolina, but that is your moment. And shout out to the amazing tackle at the end, too. You know, if I were to say there were a couple things, you know, overall that were just meh, you know, I mean, there were some hiccups that I'd like to see cleaned up with some untimely penalties and the miscue at the end with the extra point and the onside kick, but I have full confidence that that will be cleaned up. Now, looking over to the offense, what I liked, and there's going to be a couple things here. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but first off is Marshawn Lloyd is him. 92 yards and two touchdowns, but most of that came in the second half, and he was just making one big play after the next. And again, doing so when it mattered. When the team needed a play, he was there. That first touchdown run, right? You needed to keep the ball going. Got it in, right? That was an amazing run. Towards the end, when you're really trying to put that game away, gave it to Marshawn Lloyd. He's having a special season, and it's truly looking that he could be a special player for the Gamecocks, and we are all very, very lucky. I also liked the second half adjustments made. Again, I said this after the Kentucky game, but the offense, you know, they scored twice in the second half after not doing anything in the second quarter. And when it came down to it, with the game on the line, they delivered an 80-yard touchdown drive to make it a two-possession game late. They came out and made adjustments. Marshawn Lloyd was getting the ball more. The offense just looked better in the second half. And I know we have our frustrations with the offense at times, maybe a lot of times. I was very loud in making those frustrations known in the stadium. Everyone who was sitting near me knew that I was frustrated with Satterfield. But when they needed to deliver in this game, they did. And that's a credit to every coach and every player on that side of the ball to be able to lock in and get it done. When your back was against the wall, A&M was creeping back, they were able to get the job done, get points on the board. And I also liked the distribution from Rattler to different receivers. None of them had a crazy night, but Spencer did a good job of distributing the ball, and ultimately, all of our big-time playmakers, every receiver, I believe, actually had two catches at minimum. Mind you, Spencer only had 12 completions himself. This was a very much, you know, ground-and-pound type of game. Don't ask Spencer to do too much, but I liked that he was passing the ball around to the different receivers. Now, what I didn't like on the offensive side of the ball, I really did not like the sequence of plays after the Darius Rush interception. I mean, what the heck? I mean, that's super early in the game, obviously, but that's another huge push of momentum. Darius Rush darn near scoring the ball. He only come up with 3 points after being gifted that position, like so deep in the red zone. That just didn't sit great, and it's funny because it's super similar to the sequence in the Kentucky game that I talked about when you were gifted a position deep. So, like, Satterfield, he just needs to find a way to get a better feel for the game. And when you're gifted a position like that, you have to keep it simple. I think it was 3 straight passes. And to do that, when you have the running backs that we have, just made no sense. You got to try to run it once, man. I don't know. And I didn't like getting blanked in the second quarter. I mean, that was pretty brutal. Credit to A&M. They showed some fight and clawed back, but we were in an opportunity to really put that game out of reach at the half. And had we got some points in that quarter, it really would have set us up even more nice. So again, you know, in general, just the offense did their usual stuff with 1 step forward, 2 steps back a lot of the time. But in the second half, they did look better, got the ball to the players, and ultimately got the job done. So you ultimately got the job done, but you got to clean some of these things up here. Now, moving over to the defense, what I liked, holding a chain to under 100 yards. It was 99 yards. We knew A&M was going to have to rely on him, and while he did have a decently big touchdown run, he was kept in check for most of the night. And another thing that I liked was the pass rush, the second game in a row that is getting a shout out. Huge. That is huge for our team. Now, while they didn't get a sack, Carolina had 9 quarterback hurries, which ultimately showed up again in those last couple of plays to stop the Hail Mary attempt. And all night, their quarterback was just uncomfortable. And that's what you want. And that front seven, they were just locked in between the pass rush and holding a chain to under 100 yards. And these are the things you want to see. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Jordan Birch. He is someone with a lot of pressure on him. And I have called out his name as a crow to the game many times. This game kind of felt like the realization of a lot of his potential. Seven total tackles, two quarterback pressures, but some of those tackles were really big time. A couple of them were open field and saved chunk plays. Jordan Birch had a fantastic game Saturday night. Now, what I didn't like on the defense, couldn't really think of anything. There goes my voice. Couldn't really think of anything. You know, I mean, none of A&M's playmakers had any back-breaking plays. The defense came in 1 point below the season average of points allowed, so it's technically speaking a better, a better performance than your average over the year. And generally speaking, like if there was a big moment and the defense needed a stop, they got one. I mean, yes, there was a bad, that fourth down play was tough, but generally speaking, the defense was playing fantastic and they were flying around, and it never really looked like Haynes King could get settled or A&M could really get settled. And obviously the crowd noise was a factor with all those false start penalties. I mean, if I had to say one thing, it's that Darius Rush didn't score on his interception. LOL. I mean, you know, like, come on, man, you could have got us 6 points there. What are you doing? But overall for the game, man, I mean, my reaction is still just wow. I mean, wow. This was a huge moment for this program, for us fans, and for anyone invested in the Gamecocks. And now I think the SEC is looking at Columbia and saying that the Gamecocks are here. You know, getting on a 2-game win streak in the SEC is impressive as is. But when you're talking about two quality teams, you know, I understand that A&M is not having the season that a lot of people thought they were going to have. But make no mistake about it. Like, that is a talented team. Like, regardless of a number one recruiting class coming in, they've recruited in the top 10 forever under Jimbo, basically. Both these last two wins are not doormats of the SEC. This is something special. And it feels like now we are living up to some of the hype and the momentum that we felt in the offseason. So it's very exciting. And this win was insane. So looking ahead, Carolina is in a fantastic position to improve on the total win totals year over year. Like I said, you get one more win and you already match last year's total win total, and you have a bunch more games left. You can start to eye a better bowl game, but you gotta lock in. You don't want to get ahead of yourself here. Next three games against Mizzou, Vandy, and Florida set up well, where those feels like those can be competitive games. Those feel like games that are attainable, and you have to try to stay in this groove. You got one more of those as a home game. Mizzou, going to preview that next episode. So got to try and stay locked in and continue to elevate our play. But it is truly a great, great time to be a Gamecock. But with that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cocks.